You, Lord, are free from all unrighteousness. And you have supplied righteousness for us and to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we come with thankful hearts. We come with gladness for the salvation that you have supplied. O Lord God, how we praise you. We thank you for your loving kindness. We confess, Lord God, that we do not proclaim it as we ought. Such glorious good news. Such incredible love. We look at the cross and we see the depths of that love. We look back in creation and before creation to see the duration of that love. And yet we're embarrassingly silent about it at times. Forgive us, Lord God. And Father, help us to declare your faithfulness each day. Father, we come this evening to give thanks to you for your faithfulness to your people as they have sought to live and witness for you in Galway. We thank you, Lord God, for the fruitfulness that you have supplied over these 50 years. And Lord God, we pray this evening that as we consider not simply the work in Galway, but as we see behind it the work of Almighty God, and as we see the cause of our work in Galway, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for us, that our hearts would be filled with thankfulness and that the work of your hands would bring gladness to us. Father, we thank you even for the reminder this evening that there is no best before date on the service of your people. That you use your people after this world says that they have passed their usefulness. Even in old age you have purpose and meaning and significance and a role for your people to play. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that, and we pray that as many as the days you have given to us, wherever you have placed us, that we would leave here this evening determined to serve you for all of those days, whether it's 5 or 50 or whatever it might be. Lord God, we ask that you would minister to us through your Holy Spirit this evening so that we will delight in the works of your hands and in the person of your Son. Be with our speaker, Pastor Brennan, as he comes to bring us your word later on this evening, and speak to us by your Holy Spirit through him to invigorate us and to equip us for living on this island, proclaiming this joy-bringing, salvation-bringing good news. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The chairman of the mission committee, Mr. Ozzie Graham, is now going to interview some of the members of the Galway team. So over to you, Ozzie.
One of the delights of thinking about the work in Galway is thinking of how many people have been involved. As you can see from your programme, we have 5 people who have willingly agreed to come and be interviewed. I would ask them to come up and take their seats now, please. Reverend Raymond and Billy and Mary and Patrick and Thomas. We really were torn as about how could we possibly leave anyone out. Such has been the work that's been carried out in our name. And when we call people for missionary service and we send them out, sometimes we don't fully grasp what it is we've sent them out to. And so these folk agreed to answer some questions about their experience, sometimes going back a long time, and in the case of one particular young man, maybe not just so long a time. In October of 1991 was the half-term holidays here in the north of the island, and Vicky, my wife, myself and our family decided we would make our first ever visit to the Irish mission in Galway to discover that the Reverend Trevor McCauley had just been taken and rushed to hospital in Dublin a few hours before we arrived. He died suddenly. Those were dark days in the life of the work in Galway. And Raymond, you took over leadership of the team in very difficult circumstances. And I recall being at the Thanksgiving service in the hotel in Galway some weeks later of a comment for Trevor's life, a statement that has stayed with me ever since. It is hard, but not too hard. How did you cope in those dark days 30 years ago, Raymond?
It was obviously much harder for Shirley and to have her family, because it was a very sudden, not to look at you, it was a very sudden illness and very sudden death at a very young age, so it was much, much harder, I'm sure, for Shirley and the family, and they were sustained by the grace of God. For myself personally, I think in the providence of God, one of the crucial things that helped me to keep going was the presence of my good colleague here, Billy Hamilton. I think we were supportive to one another over many, many years. We make a lot of fun of one another, but we do respect each other and value each other, and I have so many happy memories of working together with Billy Hamilton hand in hand and side by side as fellow workers in the mission field in Galway. I'm very thankful for that providence of God. That I think if it had been just me there and I wasn't married at the time, I might not have been able to cope so well at all. So that was certainly a key factor, to have a fellow worker alongside you to support you and encourage you and to share ideas and thoughts together. I would also say, looking back on it, that the Irish section of the Mission Committee were always very supportive, and whenever there were issues that I was not certain about, they were there, and they were very, 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 very supportive. And though they're not visible to me, I am sure that the prayers of the whole church and many congregations of the church were supporting us in our ministry in those years, and as the Lord then working through the prayers of the home church. That's crucial, absolutely crucial, in any circumstance, not just when there's sudden loss, or but that the workers be upheld regularly in prayer as they are in the home church. And then I'll just mention one other thing. I could mention many things, but
just one.
In the remarkable providence of God, I was unmarried at the time. A very unusual person came into my life. It was reported in the Covenanter Witness as Kelly, and there was a good shock that this person, Kelly, had come to live with Raymond, because apparently Kelly is usually a feminine, a lady's name. This was a male, but he was a very unusual character, but he was greatly used by God, and there's still a lady and in the fellowship in Galway that he witnessed to, that none of us would have been equipped to witness to, and he certainly for a time was a great, great help and encouragement to have him in my home and have his company and companionship, and he certainly gave me ideas too.
Thank you, Raymond. So support and encouragement from the church and from your fellow worker. Let's come to your fellow worker. Almost 30 years ago, we sat in the adult class in the Trinity congregation one Sabbath morning, and a young man called Billy Hamilton was telling us something about his hopes and desires for work in Galway. You may not remember that, but I remember it well. And of all the various types of ministry that you've been involved in, Billy, which has given you the greatest challenge or comfort or encouragement? Please, I think I'll stand over here.
When Raymond said that we worked hand in hand, don't take it literally. But I should say that looking back, it was a great privilege to work with Raymond, and it was a great sadness when he left Galway. So it was a great privilege. I want you to imagine a room, the room, our living room, and chairs all round, and people sitting on them, and having the opportunity to take a Bible study. Raymond very kindly gave me that job after the death of Trevor, and very inadequate and not great at Bible study, but always found that such a great opportunity, because in those days we did get good numbers of non-Christians coming to our meetings. We get numbers of people, non-Christians, coming to our meetings. That's always been a feature of Galway, I think. They just came, and the guy Kelly O'Connell brought people. And for me, the greatest challenge was trying to present Bible study that was evangelistic, living, not boring. That was a big, big challenge. Let me take you to another place, and it's the street in Galway, the main street. And standing alongside with Raymond with our paintbrushes, we were never artists. Raymond certainly wasn't. And having five to seven minutes to present an evangelistic talk, talking about sin, talking about Jesus Christ, the answer, challenging, very, very challenging. But God used us in small ways to bring glory to his name, to bring good news to people in Galway. And if I could just finish with an encouragement that has happened in my own work, and it's just that the joy of explaining the gospel to people and it, or seeing it, or beholding it dawning in people's minds, coming to an understanding. Just recently, it happened to me again when, after an evangelistic talk, a girl came to the front saying, "I get it, I understand." I was explaining about substitution, not using the word substitution, but just that joy, the pleasure when somebody understands good news.
Billy mentioned that one of the things, the few things he wasn't good at the start, was leading Bible studies. Can I assure you that if you ever get the opportunity to be in Galway of a weekend and can stay for the Sabbath evening Bible study in the Hamilton's house, you know God will be with you. Vicky and I have had the opportunity to be there 3 or 4 times, and we've never once left that place without having been blessed and really appreciated your ministry through leading Bible studies, Billy. Thank you so much for that. We come now to Mary. And when we were discussing the panel, someone said, "But Mary has already spoken. We can't ask her to speak again the second time in the one day." And I said, "But not many of the men will have heard her this afternoon." And so, Mary, we do want to hear from you, so thank you for coming. And for those of us who weren't at the ladies' event this afternoon, which is probably half of the group here, can you share a highlight for us, please, of your life in Newcastle Road? Mary.
So, but I am going to have to repeat something that I said this afternoon, but... okay. Well, I think probably the one of the greatest highlights has been the Talk English Bible Study, which is a Bible study for foreigners who want to improve their English. This study was started back in sort of around 2005. I think Joanna was one of the main people. Joanna McCausland, I should say, was one of the main people involved in getting this off the ground, along with a lovely Korean girl called Ji Young. And Ji Young was wanting some sort of thing that they could do together in weekdays, and it all came together just started and off the ground. And after a few years, I had the privilege of getting involved in this ministry. So we've had people at this class from all over the world. It's probably about 50% of the classes they pass through, they come to Galway for a season to improve English at one of the three language schools in Galway. So there are always foreigners coming to do English classes. So we've had Koreans, we've had Spanish, we've had Italians, we've had anybody else? Brazilians. Yes, there's lots of Brazilians in Galway now. And the wonderful thing is that some people come to the class, they're not Christians, and they're maybe opening a Bible for the first time in their lives. And I think that's a privilege in itself to be there and to be present when someone opens a Bible for the very first time. And then whenever you have people who are maybe from a Buddhist background or something like that, and they're reading the Gospel of Mark, and they have, you get new perspective on a familiar passage, because we use a study in Mark that's for international students. So they always have, you'd always hear some brand new perspective on things, and that's very helpful. So it's not just that the word is going out to the students. I'm getting blessed as well, and the other leaders in the class are getting a blessing. And the friendships go on over the years. You know, people keep in touch. And we were invited to a wedding that we weren't able to go. But that was Kwon, K-W-O-N, but I have a quote from Kwon. And I'd like to read it, because she just out of the blue contacted me last year. And this is what she said. It was just a little thing on Facebook Messenger. "I'm thinking about you whenever I'm studying Bible in my church. Today I had a quiet time, our daily bread. It makes me think about the peoples who helped me walk in the truth. So I wanted to show you my mind. You opened your home and your hearts to help others find the Lord. God bless you and Billy." So that was a wee message from Kwon. So I think I want to finish with that, Jose. Right. Thank you.
The world of mission. Thank you for helping me to find the truth. What an incredible thing for someone to say. Thank you. What more can we do for anyone who is without Christ than help them to find the truth? Fantastic. I want to call someone who's slightly younger than most people on the stage to answer the next question, and that is Thomas. Thomas, he wasn't about when we invited him to do this, but his dad said he would talk to him. Now, Peter Jeffrey's a brave man, but Thomas, as you know, is a sizable young man. His dad was doing fairly well when he talked to him about. Thomas, your dad was called to Galway, which didn't really leave you much choice. So could you please tell us something of how you have seen God providing for you since that momentous time when you left County Antrim to go to Galway? Thank you.
Since I moved to Galway in 2012, I have seen God providing for me in many wonderful ways. To start with, there have been my schools and sports clubs. When we came to Galway, I went to St James's National School, Bushy Park, about 10 minutes from our house. I immediately felt very welcome and quickly made good friends who are still my mates today. I also joined our local Knocknacarra football club and for 4 years enjoyed the practices and games. My coaches and teammates were really encouraging. On leaving Bushy Park Primary School, I got into my first choice of secondary school, St. Enda's College, just 5 minutes from our house. It is a very popular school and really difficult to get into. My 4 years in St. Enda's have worked out really well. My two best mates from primary school got in as well, and I have made other really good friends. 2 years ago, I joined the local tennis club, and now playing tennis is one of my favourite pastimes. Last year, I did my junior cert exams. Then last September, I started transition year, which is a gap year you can do between junior and leaving cert. During TY, as it is called, I've been able to go on many trips, and I've done 3 weeks of work experience and different projects. It has been great to have a year out before starting my leaving cert in September. God has also provided me with a great church family. I enjoy going to the services, the Bible studies, and youth group. and the new building has been a blessing in many ways. Finally, I want to say that God has provided me with good Christian friends up north. The camps and presbytery events have been brilliant. I really appreciate your prayers and would ask you to continue praying for me and my family as we live in Galway. Thanks.
I don't covet very much in life, but the thought of being able to join and participate in various sports clubs with enthusiasm and vigour, Thomas, is something I would love to be able to do. And we commend you for being able to take your stand for Christ in lots of different places. And to look around the room tonight, there are quite a few young folk, who wouldn't be very far away from you in age. And you know, it could well be that for you, sometime in the future, you could be serving God somewhere else as a missionary in the same way as Thomas has been doing. So thank you, Thomas. One of the things that struck me when coming to Synod here this year was just how close quite a number of congregations are. It struck me within about 20 miles from where we're sitting or standing, there are 9 Reformed Presbyterian churches. For the Galway Fellowship, that's not such a privilege. So Raymond, how did being in a congregation that was at least 3 hours' drive away from the nearest RP church affect your work and your members?
At least 3 hours. My speed of driving is a bit more, but my wife got there in 3 hours. I don't think I sensed isolation while I was there. You know, we were a close-knit fellowship, being a small fellowship with a lot of informal interaction. I don't think I really felt I was missing out. It was really only when I went up to Mavari that maybe I realised how much interaction and a wider fellowship in the Reformed Syrian Church that I was missing out on. So I think at the time I didn't really feel it. I was very conscious, all right, of how far it was to travel up. One of the things that we much appreciated, and I'm sure the folks still appreciate to this day, are people who made the effort to come down to us. I mean, it's good to phone. Nowadays you can Skype. I think in my early days that was not around. There are all kinds of ways to communicate, but there's no substitute whatsoever at all for actually seeing someone and meeting them. And one of the great blessings we had were that there was a core group. I mean, a lot of people came down, but there was a core group of people who kept coming down regularly to support us and encourage us. I think of Jean and Irene Morgan, for example, and Dorothy Little, and people like Robert Steele and Stephen Davis. People who came down so regularly, and that certainly helped us to feel more part of the church. So I think there's one also I went to mention. One congregation even went to great lengths. I will name it. Fohan congregation hired a bus, and their bus broke down I think twice. But we appreciated so much their effort to come down and join with us and have fellowship with us. We did try to encourage our folk to come up, but I think one of the things we need to be aware of as a small denomination, we all know each other, and sometimes when folk from a distant fellowship come up, they can feel unconsciously left out because people are talking about things simply that they know about. And just something to bear in mind, if you have folk coming from a fellowship that's a distance away, bear in mind they may not know all the things you know about the Reformed Syrian Church, and just be conscious and sensitive to that. Thank you.
Isn't that such good advice for all of us who are seeking to win the lost for Christ? That when they come into our buildings and we talk to them, we don't just revert to talking about church things and things that we know about, but to be sensitive, as Raymond has said, to who they are and where they've come from and what they know and what they don't know. So thank you, Raymond, for sharing that very helpful and very wise advice. The next person I want to ask a question of is someone who, normally when they're on a platform, they've got a guitar. And I am looking forward to hearing what they're going to play and to hear the sound of the music that's coming from it, such as my taste in music. You'd be glad to know, Patrick, I'm also looking forward to hearing what you're going to say this time, even though you're not, I presume, going to sing it to us. Can you help us understand what it was like for you being your only Christian in your year group in school. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to be the only Christian in your year, because you have the opportunity to fulfill Jesus' command to be salt and light in the world. And obviously, there's a flip side to that, in that it's quite easy to assimilate, so to speak. And so God did have to prick my conscience a few times just to say, you know, you haven't been following my word correctly or such. And, you know, in this environment, you just have to watch your behavior, your language, and just your attitude and everything, because it's very easy just to go along with the flow, so to speak. I will say, though, that probably the most difficult part of being the only Christian in my year was probably just the social stances, which isn't very surprising. The social stances I had to take on issues such as abortion and homosexual activity and such. I didn't lose any friends through this, thankfully. I'm very glad for that. But I did get a few, you know, what's wrong with you type comments, or sometimes some gossip-based criticism, especially when I didn't show up at a LGBT workshop they had one day in school and such. But these are just the stances we have to take as Christians, so to speak, and we're not taking them to annoy anyone as such. So that was probably the most difficult aspect of being the only Christian in my year. But there was also the most interesting aspect was trying to explain to my Catholic friends and fellow students what it means that I identify as a Christian, because a lot of them would be like, well, I'm a Christian too. And you tried to explain the gospel to them, and sometimes it was very encouraging as such, but there were also times where you just felt that Roman Catholicism had just blinded their thinking so much to the gospel, and that could be quite discouraging. But overall, I think it was an amazing experience. I wouldn't change it for anything, and I thank God a lot for providing for me in those challenging circumstances.
Again, isn't it incredible to hear a young man talk about being the only one in his year group who's a Christian as being an amazing experience to have God provide for him in that? How many pupils would there have been in your school?
In the school there would have been, it's quite small, about probably 300.
About 300. So that's about saying the same as saying there are 1,000 Christians in Belfast. That's the sort of ratio we're talking about. And maybe only 150 in Ballymena. We can't really begin to imagine what that's like. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. Coming to our final question, and as I thought about this question, I couldn't quite believe what I was writing. It started off as the second longest serving RP missionary in active service. Billy Hamilton is the second longest serving Reformed Presbyterian missionary still in active service. Wow. Is that really something? That really is something. And he still plays football. So Billy, I want to leave the final message or challenge with you, because you have so much experience and we could learn from you for hours, but you don't have hours. But just like you to leave something with us as a final message or challenge based on the experiences you've had. Thank you.
When I was thinking about this, I thought about Trevor and Shirley McCauley. I don't think that much has been said about them. And I want to talk to you a bit about Shirley, first of all, before I talk about Trevor. But whenever I think of Shirley McCauley, I think of brownies finely dusted with icing sugar. I think of her working always in the background. I was only there for 2 years of Shirley's time, because Trevor had died and she was moving on a year later. But what a servant of Christ Shirley was. After the Bible studies, in came this big tray of brownies that she had carefully, or plate of scones or whatever, which she had carefully prepared for the Bible study. And sometimes I wondered, why were there so many people at the Bible study? A real servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know from speaking with Peter that when she went to Clock Mills, she was that same kind of person. Somebody with lots of ideas, willing to rebuke you, willing to tell you off in a nice way and to correct you. Shirley's never going to find her way into Great Preachers of the Covenant book, but she was a preacher by her life, by her example, by her integration into society. Trevor, a man with great, great vision and light years ahead of most people when it came to thinking about mission. Great ideas. Not coming to Galway with bringing his subculture and imposing it on people, but thinking carefully about how we can have an Irish church. He had all kinds of ideas, and he was so willing to try them. Even though some of them wouldn't and didn't work, he tried them. And another great servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget these two people in the history of Galway. Great, great servants of whom I'm very, very proud, and I'm sure Raymond would say exactly the same. The second thing I want to say by way of challenge, I think, comes from Trevor. And if he was here tonight, because he had this idea, he was always looking for entrepreneurs. Do we have any here tonight? Budding entrepreneurs. Trevor had the idea that people should come from the north of Ireland to Galway, to other to Letterkenny as well, and Milford, and other places as well. He had that idea that somebody could come and set up a business and employ people. We need straight businessmen in Ireland, and mechanics and plumbers and all those sort of things. So he might challenge, if he's here, he would challenge you, young person or older person, it wouldn't matter, he would challenge you to come and work in the south of Ireland. Some of you need to think about that. Come and work in the south of Ireland. I'm not saying go away. And if you're a student thinking of a university to go to, think about ours. No, there's plenty of universities. But do think about coming and working in the south of Ireland. It's good. The second thing I wanted to say concerns our own family. And we have been, I think it's fair to say, a fairly dysfunctional family. Since I joined it anyway. But I think you know what I mean anyway. That we've been a dysfunctional family. Hasn't been straight. It's been pretty messy. And I wanted to try and encourage people that God can use messy families. God can use families that don't get it right, who don't have a perfect home, who don't have perfect children. We don't have to hide any of these things. The great Samuel Rutherford wrote that God can shoot straight with a broken stick. And he can. He can use anybody here. All we've got to do is say, Lord, take these meager gifts that I have and use me, irrespective of what condition you're in. As long as you're a believer and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and looking to him, he can use you. We have proved that. God can use you too. Thank you.
On your behalf, I would like to thank our panel for not just coming and being here, but sharing something of themselves. I couldn't help but think, as they've been speaking of a book by Francis Schaeffer, how then should we live? And I would like us all, perhaps, as we reflect on tonight, to take one thing away from something Raymond or Thomas or Patrick or Billy or Mary has said, and really think about it and think about how we could learn from that and perhaps adapt it in the situation God has placed us. Thank you, each one of you, for coming and participating and sharing tonight.